magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, January 8th, 2018, and this is one of these rush programs. We got Marianne in here.
All right.
Kathleen Jennings a part of today's broadcast, as we referenced her last week about reading her article in the January edition of Prime Life Times, and it's been fun even this weekend. The various people that have picked it up and contacted me, and I think it was last Friday. I call him Lego Man, but he was in, and he took a stack, I think he said, of like 50 papers. And Janine took some out towards the Homer-Ogden area, I know, the other day, and delivered them to three different locations, and our distribution team has been out and about in the cold temperatures, making sure the racks are filled. Kathleen, I think you on Friday also took some over to the Mettler Center and some other locations. So appreciate all those that are helping us get the word out about the Prime Life Times. It's an exciting paper. It's free. This past week, I was up in Oak Brook for a day and a half for a friend's birthday, and I brought them their copy. They've been founding partners with the radio ministry and have been integral in my life for many years. And so I brought them an edition, and Dave, the husband, it was Linda's birthday, but Dave said, "Oh, I saw it last month and saw the Singing Men in it and thought you were just showing me that you were advertising in the paper.
Oh,
I never
my.
Realized that Great News Radio was overseeing this." And I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Look at this edition." And so he spent like 15 minutes leafing through and looking at it and commenting. So getting a lot of great feedback. And it's a new tool or a mechanism that God's using to further the kingdom cause through Great News Radio, but through the addition of the Prime Life Times. All to say that you can pick up your free copy at over 100 area locations. You can find those at the website, primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. And had even a couple more people want to subscribe. And so for $20, they get a full year, 12 issues mailed to their doorstep or wherever they want it mailed. And so that's growing, and it's just
fun. Get out there and get yours fast. They're moving fast.
Yeah, they're moving fast. I think this time we printed 18,500. We estimate that there's 26,000 monthly readers, and we're appreciative of those that add content. And you, Marianne, write a couple different stories. Last Monday and Tuesday, we talked about one of them, the one you did on Papa Dell's. But we referenced Kathleen Jennings again, who's a regular content contributor. So you're a CC for the radio ministry, a content contributor now.
Oh, that's a new term.
Yeah, I just made it up.
Right. I figured you did.
Very new.
Can I put that after my name?
Yeah, on your resume now, too.
Yes,
so if you make the big bucks, you know, you can say part of it was.
People will say, "Who is she trying to copy?"
That's right.
Oh, yeah, you're CCing it.
Right.
Well, Kathleen, we did talk about you last week because we appreciate you and your ongoing series. Let's see, what's it called? From Generation to Generation. That's kind of your theme.
Yes.
And some months back when we contacted you and we said, "Kathleen, you're gifted at writing." Many of you have appreciated her voice. She was a part of It's a Wonderful Life and some of the special readings we had a couple weeks back. And has done some radio spots and have been interviewed from time to time, from trips to Israel to some of your artistic work. You're a painter, a teacher, a retired, gifted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess never retired from following the Lord Jesus Christ,
but from
teaching. You also taught at Judah Christian. Was it art at Judah Christian for some years?
No, actually, when I taught at Judah Christian, I taught English in the high school and Bible classes.
Okay.
And then my free time, I was the librarian.
Oh.
I love it when people say, "In my free time," then they add something like that.
I was
librarian.
Yeah. But you did teach art. Was it in the Paxton, Loda, North?
I taught art at Paxton, at PBL.
Okay, PBL.
Yes.
And now you're contributing content. And this was a series that you had a heart for some years ago with World War II veterans and people with kind of life stories, God-honoring testimonies or stories that you were putting together. And as we contacted you some months back, you said, "Well, you know, I do have some thoughts and ideas." And this month you chose somebody that we both know pretty well.
Yes.
And maybe give us a little background before we have you read the story.
Well, I've known Alice Hansen for several years and also her husband, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just an incredible lady. She was born in Casablanca, Morocco.
Yeah.
And she speaks, well, when she came here to Champaign-Urbana area, she taught French at the high school. So she's fluent in at least two or three languages and is very loving, very God-honoring woman.
And Jewish?
She is Jewish.
But a follower of Jesus. So some would say, wait, can you be Jewish and be a follower of Jesus?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
In fact, Paul, the Apostle Paul, most of the disciples
were
Jewish.
Whole group of people, actually.
Absolutely.
Because some people sometimes
namely,
get
everybody.
Confused. Can you be a Christian
right
and
beginning.
Be Jewish? Of course. In
yes,
fact,
yes.
There's terminology like a fulfilled Jew or a messianic Jew or a Jewish person. And so she's a faithful follower of Jesus, loves the Lord, mm-hmm. and yet never stop being Jewish. You know, sometimes you have to alert people that when you become a Christian, yes, you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, you claim Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you still retain your identity. And sometimes for some people, it's even a fuller understanding of the Bible because it was written in Hebrew and and some of those idioms and some of the language is better understood by people that's their original language.
I grew up on the mission field and I'm just sitting here looking at you, Mark, thinking you'd be a good missionary. What you just said.
Well, you know, sometimes people forget that the first followers of Jesus were Jewish.
Right.
And when I go to the Seders at Pesach, which is Easter time, the first time I went, I was simply amazed at how Jesus fulfills everything that was done.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Everything that was done. From wrapping up the kofiyam and putting it away, it all relates to Jesus.
Yeah, when Jason has held those Seder meals at the Community Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad, he points out all the parallels, all the representations of New Testament thought and mindset and what the scriptures were referring to and pointing towards Christ and how Christ fulfills all those things. So when a Jewish person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they make all those connections right away because of their understanding of the Mosaic Law and the first five books and the Old Testament.
Isn't that kind of like that scripture, you know, the Gentiles were grafted in?
Mm-hmm.
But it's, and then he talks about how much power there will be when the original olive tree comes to fruition.
Yeah. Absolutely. We cannot forget, or we certainly should not forget, our roots. Because any branch that is cut off from the roots dies.
Right. Mm.
It doesn't continue to grow. And you don't have to be a farmer to understand that.
So, Alice, is your head getting a little bigger this morning if you're tuned in? I know Steve tunes in all the time. Alice many times travels back to France, or I know she's over in Europe all the time.
She has a sister, an older sister that lives in France. Mm-hmm. Now, her father did eventually move to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And she also has family there.
I love this picture that you have.
It's a wonderful picture.
Yeah, maybe describe it for those that haven't gotten out and picked up their free edition of the Prime Lifetimes. Yes. 100-plus locations. In fact, I think we added a few more this past weekend.
I know, they keep coming in. It's fun.
Yeah, and people are calling in, hey, can you put it at our retirement center? Or what about this location? And people are picking them up and delivering them to their small group or other areas. But
it's moving fast, Mark.
Yeah, this is a great addition. We'd love to put it into your hands. And you can also view it online at primelifetimes.com. But if you're like me, you like to hold it and touch it and look at it. And this was a picture
that,
pick up the paper, turn
it. That'll come all over the air.
Yeah. So this picture, did you request a certain type of picture or just leave it up to them?
I simply asked for a picture from Alice, if she had a picture with her father.
Hmm.
And this is the picture that she gave me. And it's a wonderful picture. You see the interior of their apartment.
And this is probably about 50 years ago, 40 years ago, this picture, photograph?
Yeah, I would say 50.
At least
50 years. She's 60. She's a young girl, teenager.
Yeah.
Probably a teenager.
It looks like the Seder.
No, it's Shabbat.
Oh, okay.
It's Shabbat because they have the two candles there.
Oh, I see, sure.
And so forth, and they're doing. Now, at this point in time, her mother had died, so her mother was not there maybe to do the beginning.
Right, so she was maybe doing it.
Right, that's quite possible, doing that, or maybe an older sister or something. But it's beautiful. You see the wallpaper, the flowers, and the two candles. So this is their Shabbat.
Her father's pictured with, how do you describe that, like not the straw cap, but a the material?
Kind of like a Panama hat.
Panama hat with the ribbon around the base, and he's got glasses on.
Well, he would have his head covered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this was this was what he chose to do.
And you've titled this A Beautiful Friendship.
Oh, let's read
now, is that the beautiful friendship that you had with her?
Yes.
Or that she has? Oh,
you just
leave it to the
just
story.
Okay.
I will. I need to read. I need, and hopefully, especially for people who visit Casablanca once in a while, as I did, I think you will understand what I'm talking about.
Okay.
A Beautiful Friendship. Rick, Ilsa, Louie, and Sam introduced themselves to me when I was a young teenager. Over the years, they frequently visited my town, usually right after the Saturday night 10 o'clock news. The snapshot they offered of an exotic Casablanca filled with intrigue and romance touched on the reality of fear and desperation. I learned about that reality when I spoke with Alice Hansen, a friend born and raised in Casablanca, French Morocco. She told me about the time fear became a part of our lives. Mm. As the shrill siren penetrated the familiar sounds of Casablanca's Jewish district, Alice's family quickly left their third-floor apartment and scrambled down the stairway into the dark, damp cellar below. They huddled together with the building's other tenants. Though only 5 years old, Alice vividly remembers the earnest prayers of the adults and a frightened woman crying, "They're coming to throw us all in the ovens."
Hmm.
Morocco's economic center, Casablanca, was also home to its largest Jewish population. During the late 1930s, as a result of propaganda, the situation for the Moroccan Jewish community was becoming more precarious. Calls for pogroms and boycotts of Jewish businesses increased, and non-Jewish business owners were encouraged to fire Jewish employees. Anti-Semitism became more common. Morocco, a French protectorate, fell under the jurisdiction of the Vichy government after the invasion of France by Germany, and it also became subject to Vichy anti-Jewish laws in October of 1940. These laws increasingly restricted the rights of Morocco's Jewish community, particularly in Casablanca, home to an active Gestapo office.
Hmm.
Many Jewish residents found their livelihoods destroyed, and, as in Germany, had their citizenship rescinded, making it impossible to legally leave the country. Alice told me how David Amar taught his children that they were special to God, and how the family faithfully observed Shabbat. Alice remembers watching her father carefully remove tiles from a section of the bathroom wall and cut a hole where he could hide soaps and other necessities as they became more difficult to obtain. He told his family, "It doesn't matter that we're poor. We don't neglect our home, our bodies, or our minds." Once war began, possession of radios was forbidden. Her father secretly obtained one, listened to reports about the course of the war, and passed along the information to others. An electrician employed by the port of Casablanca when the Germans took over, he continued repairing electrical systems on the ships. Every day, as he passed the German authorities, he carried a tool chest in each hand to keep from having to make the mandatory Nazi salute.
Hmm.
Her mother, becoming more fearful that the Germans would one day prevent him from returning to his family, would climb a high wall on the third floor of the apartment building where she could see him.
Turning to page 23.
I know, we're all trying.
Okay, just a minute. Okay. I'm going to start that paragraph again.
Yeah.
Her mother, becoming more fearful that the Germans would one day prevent him from returning to his family, would climb a high wall on the third floor of the apartment building where she could see him as he walked down the street toward home. On November 26, 1942, the Americans came to Casablanca. By 1944, David Amar was working at the American PX, and every Sunday he would bring home a treat, gum or candy or new clothes. They especially liked the white bread he brought. It was American. Then, in 1946, when Alice was 9, her mother died from cancer. Years later, while she was working as a translator in Vietnam, an American friend talked to Alice about Yeshua. After coming to the United States, finding a job teaching French, and a home for herself and her daughter, she renewed her search for a relationship with God. She also found something unexpected, a fellow believer named Steve, who was to become her husband. I still return to Rick and Ilse's Casablanca from time to time, always enriched by Alice's reality, always thankful for our beautiful friendship.
That what was Kathleen Jennings, currently living in Mahomet, Illinois, is a watercolor artist who loves history and researching personal stories of World War II. She can be contacted at kathleen@watchmanonthewall.com.
And a really fun little picture beside of it.
Yeah,
of
I love
her.
That hat
yeah,
that you have
that's
on.
That's cute, my hat.
That's cute. Very nice. You know, I want to point
great
out
article,
there's probably
Kathleen.
A couple words in uh-huh. here that some might be unfamiliar with. Calls for pogroms.
Oh, pogroms. It's P-O-G-R-A-M-S. And a pogrom is when you went in and cleared out a group mm-hmm. of people. Mm-hmm. They pogroms were nothing new by World War II. Russia, if you've ever seen Fiddler on the Roof, the story revolves around some pogroms in yeah. Russia. And so they just want to clear the people out.
Yeah, so that's sometimes when you watch Schindler's List or some of the famous stories that recount what the
right.
Jewish people went through. It's yeah, they mm-hmm. came in, just cleared out everyone, grabbed them and their luggage
right.
or whatever, and
mm.
and cleared yeah, literally cleared
they
out the times.
They wanted it for something else.
And there was usually terror associated with it, where people
right.
are breaking windows and throwing
that's
rocks,
right.
and anti-Semitism
that's right.
was at its
it's
worst.
Actually, the composer Irving Berlin was a baby when his family left Russia because of the pogroms mm. that were in Russia in the early 1900s.
And so how early did they know about, because it seems like early on in this article it mentions, yeah, second or third paragraph, they're coming to throw us all in the ovens.
How did they know about that?
Well,
clear over in Casablanca so early.
Well, it probably, that woman knew about it.
Oh, yeah.
Family members still had ways of communicating.
Right.
Sure.
And you need to remember, even though World War II began for the United States in December of 1941,
right.
it began here
yeah.
much earlier.
That's true.
Because Hitler went into Poland in September of 1939.
Yeah, 39.
Mm-hmm. I'm wow. sure that that kind of news, though, traveled around the world like lightning.
Oh.
I mean, those atrocities.
Well, it wasn't very well known to the general public.
Oh.
I think partly, too, nobody wanted to believe it.
That's right.
They wanted to
that's
recognize
right.
that this could be happening in our backyard.
Well, and you know, when there's a war, there are rumors of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they maybe just felt, even Jewish people living in, Elie Wiesel wrote a book in which he talks about this very thing, that there was a young man in their village, and he warned them. He warned them about what the Nazis were doing, and the people there couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was just reading this new movie, The Darkest Hour,
yes.
Churchill. They said in this article that it was the very day that Churchill came to office that Hitler invaded Poland, the Netherlands,
mm-hmm.
and Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
First day on the job.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, first day on the job.
Right. Well, and Chamberlain had said, peace in our time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he did all these
the
things.
The big mistake.
And, mm-hmm. and the people wanted to do that. It's a very appropriate movie for our times.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was Eisenhower, when he went into those camps, he said, take as many photographs
yes.
as possible or something
yes.
to that
did
extent,
he?
Because he said, nobody's going to believe and we have to retain this history that
oh
this
right.
really did happen
right.
because generations from now will never believe it.
How bad.
And, that,
mm-hmm.
and they brought in the townspeople. And
yes. They
I don't know whether they
through.
Act as if they were naive or didn't know what was going on, because they said, mm-hmm. and I don't know, maybe some of your studies too, Kathleen, where, you know, we know about Auschwitz and Belsen, you know, some of the different camps. We know about the 10
Bergen-Wald.
Or 15 major camps,
mm-hmm.
but they said there were literally thousands of these. Some were 20 or 30 or 50.
Yes.
And so that masses really knew what was going on, but nobody wanted to come out. I guess it was just this passive thing like, you know, we don't want to get involved because it'll jeopardize our life. But there were literally thousands of these mini camps all over. And so that's never been really publicly known, widespread. You know, you're like you're, Marianne, you're thinking, really? Because we all know about the major camps.
Yeah.
But there were smaller units all over throughout, like Poland and Germany, obviously, and some of the areas. And that really, it's one of these wake-up calls that people knew a lot more.
Horrifying. Well, I know. Erwin Lutzer has written a book called When a Nation Forgets God. Mm. It's just a little book. I found it an excellent book. And he talks about a man that he had interviewed, that when this man was a child, they lived in a village not far from the railroad tracks. And they would hear the trains go by, and they could hear the people crying and moaning and screaming in these railroad cars. And so what they would do, if they were in church, what they would do is they would just sing more loudly.
God save us.
That's right. That was what they did. That's one of the things he talked about that in that book that I remember.
Yeah, Lutzer did a series, Hitler and the Third Reich. Or it was a series of helping the Christian understand why so many Jewish people are kind of hostile to the Christian message because of what was done in the name of Christ or
Was
allowed.
God save.
That's right. And, and how legitimately, you know, even some of the decisions Luther made at the end of his life
that
were so anti-Semitic
right.
and
so
Hitler
upsetting.
And his cronies used some of that material. And
one of his books, Hitler's Cross, really describes how propaganda can change. And he says, if you think it can't happen here, in the United States, think again.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Kathleen, that's really sobering, and this was a fantastic article.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
The January edition of the Prime Life Times, free at over 100 area locations. We appreciate you, Kathleen, submitting that story, and look forward to next month. Do you know who's going to be next month's feature?
We do, but
yes,
we're not going to
tell.
You'll find out soon enough.
It's
a
secret.
Pick up your Prime Life Times at other locations, or right here at the Great News Radio Center. I know people have come by and taken a handful to pass out to their small group or their church or their friends or neighbors, and we want to get the message out. It's an informative, engaging, positive paper printed monthly, and we thank God for giving us this privilege to be overseeing the content and the stories in here and the advertisers that make it all possible. So thanks for listening today. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Kathleen Jennings with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.